Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. So today we continue our Jesus Is series. And I just want you to imagine if someone were to walk in here today and say, I am the vine and you are the branches. Or I am the way, the truth, and the life. What would you say? Now imagine we're having an argument with them about identity and with that same person, and we say, well, we belong to God, the God of Abraham. And that person says back to us, before Abraham even was, I am. How would you respond to that? Sorry?
Welcome.
Oh, thanks, Vince. Thank you. Well, Jesus would love you in this story. Well, that's what we're going to explore today. We're going to explore when Jesus walks into the temple and he announces that he is the great I am. But before I start, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanks that you are our God. And we thank you and praise you for Jesus. And we ask that you open our hearts today, that we would hear a new word from you, and that we would recognize what you are saying to us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, what's going on here? In chapters 7 to 9 in John's Gospel, the whole scene, all these chapters take place in the temple. It's not going to work for me now. It takes place in the temple during the Feast of Tabernacles. And this is a holy holiday when the Jews remembered the time that God was with them during the 40 years through the desert in Mount Sinai. It was also a time when the Jews looked forward to God coming and tabernacling with them, coming and living with them. And we'll remember in John 1, verse 14, it says that the Word of God came down and lived with his people. And that word lived in Hebrew is to tabernacle. So during this very important holy holiday, Jesus is having an argument with his enemies. Now, you read in some Bible translations, it says Jesus is arguing with the Jews, but we want to be careful of that. First of all, it breeds anti-Semitism, but also we need to remember that Jesus himself was a Jew. So were his disciples and his followers. So the people he's arguing with are his enemies, and they're actually the religious people, the teachers of the law. The high priests in the temple. Now, what are they arguing about? The main thread here is about identity. And these Jewish religious leaders are arguing that they are descendants of Abraham. Because of their religious background, because of their religious heritage, but Jesus argues that the people who truly belong to God are the people who listen to God. And so in verse 47, he says, anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God. But you don't listen because you don't belong to God. And that's a big thing for him to say, because they've just assumed, because they're Jewish, they belong to God. And they belong to the God of Abraham. And so what do they say back? They call him a Samaritan devil. They say, didn't we say all along that you were possessed by a demon? And now this is a big insult, to call a Jewish person, a rabbi especially, a Samaritan, first of all. Because Samaritans in those days were like an unbeliever. It's like calling someone an unbeliever, but you're calling a minister or a pastor an unbeliever. And you might recall the story of the Great Samaritan, when the rabbi passed the man by the road, but it was the Samaritan who stopped to help him. And not only are they calling Jesus an unbeliever, they're calling him a devil or demon-possessed. And so Jesus isn't rude back. He actually stands his ground and he says, I have no demon in me, for I honor my Father and you dishonor me. And then Jesus promises them eternal life. Now, what's he saying here? He says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who obeys my teaching will never die. Now the people said, we know you are possessed by a demon. Even Abraham and the prophets die. But you say, anyone who obeys my teaching will never die. Now, what's happening here? Jesus is talking about life beyond death, a oneness with God, union with God that will never die. But the people misinterpret what Jesus is saying. They are understanding him in terms of material life, material death. And so they say, are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? And then Jesus says, if I want glory for myself, it doesn't count. He's come to seek God's glory, not his own. And then he says, your father Abraham rejoiced as he looked forward to my coming. He saw it and was glad. Now, this is really, really controversial because the rabbis in Jesus' day taught that Abraham had this great prophetic gift, that he could see the coming of the Messiah. And so for Jesus to say, your father Abraham rejoiced as he looked forward to my coming, what is Jesus saying about himself? That he's the Messiah. That's right. That he's the Messiah. But again, the enemies misunderstand him and they think Jesus is talking about material age. And so they say to him, how can you have seen Abraham? You're not even 50 years old. Still, they don't get it. And so then Jesus drops a bombshell. He answers, I tell you the truth. Before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Whoa. Now, in some translations, we read Jesus saying, truly, truly, before Abraham was, I am. And you'll hear Jesus say, truly, truly, throughout the Gospels. And when he repeats that word, truly, it means absolutely, without a doubt, 100%. So Jesus is saying, absolutely, without a doubt, before Abraham even existed, I am. And now, how would the Jews, or his enemies especially, be understanding what Jesus is saying? They would know exactly that Jesus is referring to Exodus 3:14. Do you remember when God appeared to Moses in the burning bush and Moses asked for God's name and God replied, I am who I am. I am who I am. To exist before the birth of Abraham and yet to stand there today in the temple during the Feast of Tabernacles and to say to his enemies, before Abraham was, I am. That is the boldest claim that Jesus has made so far. So there's only two ways to go in response to that, if someone said that to you. Either you don't believe them or you do. Now, if you don't believe them, God has given us a gift of free will, and we have the choice to say, we don't believe you, Jesus. But if we do, and I know many of us do, we've looked at the Gospels, we've weighed up the evidence for Jesus' life on earth, for his death, for his resurrection, then what does that mean? What difference does it make to us if Jesus is the great I am? Well, Paul tells us in Colossians 1, verse 27, that this is the secret. Christ lives in you. And in Galatians 2:20, he says again, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So what's he saying? He's saying that when we believe in Jesus, Jesus isn't just with us. He lives in us. He lives in us. And so if Jesus is the great I am, who's come not just to be among us, but by his Spirit who lives in us, then each day that we acknowledge that Jesus is the great I am who lives in us, we should be and we will be growing closer in our union with God. We grow more confident in who we are in Christ. And we grow more open or tuned in to Christ in our lives and in the lives of those around us. Now, I was reading a report about Christians and the spiritual life of Australians today. And I read in this report that 63% of Christians came to know Christ through another Christian, through someone who had a personal relationship with Jesus and someone who showed the love and kindness of Jesus with them. 63% of people who come to know Christ know someone who shared the gospel with them, who shared something of Jesus, who was the gospel with them. So by acknowledging Jesus the great I am in us, we can affect change. How do we do this? Three ways. First of all, we take time to notice the present. We're so often rushing through life, aren't we? From one thing to the next, and we're looking at our phones, we're distracted by so many things going on. But one way that we can acknowledge Jesus as the great I am in us is to just take notice of what's going on right now. We might notice the trees or the blue sky today or the smile on a child's face. In that way, we recognize Jesus in not just in us, but in everything, in everyone. We take time to reflect on God's word. We don't just read God's word quickly because we have to every day, but we might just read a passage and think on one verse that speaks in our heart and ask Jesus how he's speaking to us through that today. And third of all, we take time to quietly experience God. Now, for some of us, this might mean contemplation. That means not praying to God and asking him for a string of things, but just sitting with God and letting Jesus be in us and not just noticing who God is and loving God for who he is. Jesus is the great I am who lives in us. So we need to be careful to keep our hearts and our ears open to God at all times. because God might be speaking to us in new ways through different people, and we want to pay attention. Now, this takes time. It's very gradual, and day by day, it takes discipline. But as we spend time with God, reflecting on Jesus as the great I am in us, then and only then can we be tuned in to what is going on, to God in us, in the lives of those around us, at all times. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you loved us so much that you would send your only Son, the great I am, who was there from the beginning of time to be with us, to tabernacle with us. We thank you that by his Spirit he lives in us now. And I pray, Lord, for each one of us that we would know you, that we would know you in our inmost being, and that through this we would help to make a difference in the lives of others and in the world around us. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.